to the book of Haggai, as Jeff would say to Mary and Ruby when they're here, that's in the Old Testament. And he sometimes tries to keep them straight, but if you go to Malachi and then Zechariah and then Haggai, go in reverse order. And go with me, if you would, to the first chapter of the book of Haggai. Some are still turning their pages there, but in Haggai, the first chapter, reading verses 1 through 7 today, if you'd like to follow along with us. Book of Haggai, verses 1 through 7. And verse 1, I'll probably get some of these names wrong, but you just bear with me. I don't know why they had to have such hard names. Why they couldn't be Bill or Joe or Ron. But they had some big names back then. It says, in the second year of Darius the king, in the sixth month, in the first day of the month, came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet unto Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Josedech, the high priest, saying, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, this people say, the time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste? Now therefore, thus consider the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have sown much and bring in little. You eat, but you have not enough. You drink, but you're not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages put into a bag with holes. Verse 7, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. And stop reading there with verse 7 today. And I appreciate those standing for the reading of God's word. And this morning, a text that the Lord laid upon our heart, thought that God gave to us. I want you to pray for us, as Brother Lloyd said in Sunday school, that we pray for the singers, we pray for the preacher, because we're here to help and support one another. And what one gets, we all can get. Come and dine, the master calleth, come and dine. But I'd like to preach to you a message today entitled, Have You Built the Church in Your Life? Have you built the church in your life? Because that's the question or the statement that God told Haggai the prophet to give to the children of Israel after coming out from Babylonian captivity, is that they appeared to have everything in order. They came out from captivity and they started building their houses and putting their lives back together. But after some time, God spoke to them and said that you have everything else built, but where is my house? Where is God's house in your life? God's house is more than just a building. It's more than just a group of baptized believers. It's even more than the bride of Christ, according to Revelation, the 21st chapter. The church is something that is with us in our life, and we ought to make sure that we have built the church in our life in such a manner that it will stand the test of time. We all know about the story in the New Testament when he tells us about that they built their house upon the sand and the storms came and it destroyed the house. But those that built their house upon the rock, it stood the test of time. When the storms came, the house fell not, for great was it built. We all have a church, if you'll have it today, that we need to build into our own lives. Because without the church, our life cannot be blessed by God to its fullness. And that's what he tells us in verses 10 and 11. Looked like they had everything, but yet everything they had was not enough. It was not enough because they did not have a church. They didn't have God in their life. And these folks were a lot like people today, that they were concerned about everything but the house of God. So many people that lived their lives then and even today that put the job or the career or social time or entertainment or just have no desire to get the house of God into their life. These folks, they had jobs because he says you sow much and you bring in little. You eat but you don't have enough. You drink but you're not filled. You're clothed but you're still cold. And you have wages but it seems like you put them into a bag with holes. No matter how much you make, is what he's saying, it's not enough. You don't have enough to eat. You don't have enough to drink. Because, you know, you eat and you drink but yet you're not filled. Because you're missing something in your life. Our life is more than just things. Things cannot replace God in your life or in mine. Things lose their luster over time. But God has never lost the impression that he made on my heart and soul when I gave my life to him. In fact, he is more glamorous today than he was when I first received him into my life and my soul. Nothing can replace the church in your life. There's a lot of social things that you may be involved in and you think these are good, and maybe they are in their own way. But I preached here many years ago that yoga cannot replace the church. Meditation cannot replace the church. Gyms that you work out in cannot replace the church. Even your circle of friends cannot replace the church, because there's no one that can give you the comfort like the church can. No one that can give you joy like the church can. No one that can give you peace like the church can when you're really into the church of the living God. And we all need to evaluate our life and see where the church fits into our life. Church ought not to be an afterthought. It ought to be a forethought. In fact, in all of our planning, church ought to be at the priority point of our whole life. Nothing ought to replace church. We ought to make sure that everything on our schedule is scheduled around the church. You say, but that means Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. It ought not to be burdensome to go to church. It ought to be joy to go to the house of the Lord. And I said it's not just a building. Sometimes we could have church and not be in the building. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. Because the church is not necessarily a building. Christ builds the church with our approval in our hearts and our lives, to where God becomes everything to us. And nothing else really matters, to the point to where the people of this world look at their lives and say, I've got everything. But yet they have nothing. Is that not what he said to the church at Laodicea? He said, you say you are rich, but yet you are poor. You're broke because you don't have me in your life. Some folks start building the church in their life, and they get to a certain point, and then it's like they become bored, or they become stagnant, or the devil just tells them to quit building, and they stop. Every day we have to work on this building that we call the church. We have to work. How many of us have to work in our own life to keep the devil out and to make sure that we keep the church pure, clean, and respectable. Because there are too many things out in this world. And can I put this? God laid this upon my heart, and I want to share it with you. The church is a chaste woman. She is a chaste woman. She is not the harlot that's out here telling our people that just any way and every way is okay. In fact, the word of God calls her even stronger than a harlot. He said that she is a whore. And some of you say, Roger, this is church. You ought not use that word. God called them that word because they just went to try to find something to please them instead of hearing the word of God. I'd rather hear the word of God than I had to have everybody pat me on the back and say, you're a good fella. Good fellas don't make it to heaven. Born again people make it to heaven today because they put the church first in their life. The church today, in fact, you can't have Christ in your life without the church. People say, I can repeat a prayer after somebody and that puts Christ in my life. I did not get it that way. You say, how did you get it? I got it at an old-fashioned altar of prayer where I bowed down because the church was praying in such a manner that, folks, you could feel the Spirit of God move in the midst of the church, and God spoke to me. And looking back, Brother Wayne, I'm honored that God singled me out, and I felt like the whole church was looking at me. But and that was just the devil telling me that. It was my conscience and God's spirit that was saying I needed to get right with God and put the church into my life. And when I stepped out, I found that the church is real. To Maddie's testimony, this is not something that you can research and figure out which one's the best. You better follow the Spirit of God and build the church in your life like no other part of your life. You know, the church ought to be the forefront of every thought that we have. And it ought to be there and stay there. I'll share this with you today. That this church is my priority. Amen. And you're saying you're talking about Mount Carmel. Well, I'm talking about my part. I can only speak for my part. But all of us have a part in the church of the living God. Every one of us. And sometimes, how many of you feel like we're losing a battle? And we are losing a battle along the way. But I've come to bring you good news. I've read the back of the book, and we win. So keep your head up and keep working. The children there that come out from underneath Babylonian, they were prisoners there and came out from underneath there. God said, you've worked on everything else. It's time that you start working on my house. So that your house will be blessed. Amen. How many of our houses are blessed this morning? Because we built God's house in our lives. And we centered everything around it. Not because, Charlie, to your testimony this morning. Not because of mom and dad or grandma and grandpa. I chose this way because it is the good way. It is the only way that you can get from earth to glory. Is by knowing Jesus Christ in a free pardon of sin. And know that when you take your last breath, heaven's going to be waiting for you to cross over. He said, you're in trouble because you've not built the church in your life. Church is more than just, it's expected for me to go. It's more than it's just a routine for me to go. I don't know about you this morning, But I get excited about church time. People say, oh, you preachers are all the same. You just so happy about church. There are times I'm so low that when I'm driving down the highway to get here, I have to say, Lord, I need you to refresh that spirit in my heart and soul that when I get to church, I can lift my hand and praise you. I may have a lot going on the outside, but Lord, help me when I get on the inside to put all that behind me that I might be able to worship you in a way that you are pleased with. When we're working on this church, we need to put everything else behind us. In fact, we need to be them like them in the book of Ezra when they was working on the wall. We need to have the sword in our hand while we're working. Because the enemy is trying to come and tear us down. Some of you this morning, you've been working on the church in your life, and the devil was just like they was in the time of Ezra. That you're working as hard as you can. I put it to you like this. Mark and I was up here working on Friday, and I'm more of a person. I just throw it together and get it built just any way I can. Mark is a finesse builder. Okay, he pays attention to the details. I'm just looking at the end result. Anybody else like that? This one helped me out this morning. Sometimes people may look at my life and say, Roger, what you built, if a fox was to walk on it, it'd fall down. But you know what I say? As long as God is happy with it, He's happy with my effort. He's happy with what I'm doing. I say, let them say what they want to. Let them talk about me all they want. I'm not in it to please man. I'm not in it to try to impress anybody. I'm in it to worship God in spirit and in truth and keep the church alive and well in my life. Because God said if we don't in the book of Revelations that He'll remove the candlestick right out of our house. And I don't want the candlestick moved. In fact, I wish He'd put another one in there. I don't know if I'd be more spiritual or not. But I like to be like the prophet of old. When you die, I want a double portion of what you got. People say that was a bold statement. He saw something that the world didn't have, and he wanted more of it. The church today requires work. It requires work on building and maintaining. You say, it's a lot of work, but I've got a helper with me. I made that comment about me and Mark and the different skill sets we have. But you know, I've got a helper that is a carpenter. Oh, hallelujah. And there are things I don't understand, but he's built them before. In fact, look at your neighbor. He built the church in their life. He helped them, every one of us. I don't know how anybody could just fall out of love with the church. But we've got so many that other things have come in and taken priority in their life. And their building is desecrating. It's desecrating. As we was up here working on Friday, you know, you make one thing look good. And I seen other things that need attention. How many of us will be open today with ourselves and with God and say, I might be strong, I might be building this part good, but I see other things that are just falling apart that need my attention. They need my attention. And you say, how can this is more work than I'm able to take care of. This is a lot of building and maintaining. But if we don't build and maintain, the devil's coming in and he's chipping away at everything we do. And you know what he does? He chips away a little bit every day. He don't come to the front door and knock and say, let me in. He chips away until there's room for him to get in. And once he gets in, he destroys all the good things that God has done for you. I say, it is exciting to work on the church. It's exciting. The church in my life, not just this building. I enjoy every time I come up here and help work on this building. In fact, this building ought to be the most beautiful part of every one of us. You say, well, I see things that need to be done, and I'm going to preach to the church for a minute, okay? I see things that need to be done, and that's what we have trustees for. That's what we have janitors for. But God has called all of us. Who does this church belong to? Every one of us, right? I like it. Zoe or Sean one asked me, he said, a few weeks ago, they said, Papa, who's the boss at your church? And I said, all of us. And they said, well, you're the preacher, you're the pastor, aren't you the boss? I said, no, I don't want that job. God's the boss. Amen? And this is our church. And just like in building our own life, you know, so many people start building in their own life. Then they find fault with somebody else that causes them. You know, it's easier for me to stand up here and see faults in your life than it is for me to see faults in my own life. Some of you say, if I was pastor, I'd do it this way. I'm just being open with you. Some of you say, if I was a trustee, I'd do it this way. Some say, if I was a custodian, I'd do it this way. Well, let's just pitch in together and do it God's way. Amen? Let's build the church that God is impressed with. And God does not look at this building and say, I'm impressed with it. He looks at what's on the inside of the building. And as he searches out the church, as we've assembled here today, he says, that one's building, that one's building, that one's building. That one ain't done nothing in months. And you say, Roger, are you pointing at me? You just take it up with the boss. That one ain't done nothing in months. This one hasn't even started building. And they say that they are saved. If we're saved, we have work to do. And if you're not saved, you can't build without God. Some folks say, I'm going to build and get all these things that's wrong in my life out of it before I surrender to God. You better get God in first. Otherwise, all that other stuff will be short-lived. I'm going to get touchy for a moment. People that go to alcohol and drug abuse treatment programs, I want to declare to you, if they don't get God, they're wasting their time. You say, well, they teach them a lot of good things, and they may teach them a lot of good things. But did you know you and I can't apply good things without God? How many of us go around and say, Lord, help me? Brother Eli, sometimes I work so hard on this building, and I get to a point where it seems like I just can't build anymore. I'm at a standstill. It's too difficult. And I say, Lord, will you help me? Because I don't want the church in my life to fall apart. You say, if God built it, how can it fall apart? Because the devil wants to destroy every good thing God has done in our lives. You know, this morning I woke up. And Becky will tell you this, and I don't tell you this for sympathy or pity. Woke up with a terrible, terrible headache. And I thought, man, this would be a good day to call in. I don't even have call-in rights. You say, well, you could call the deacons. I don't report to the deacons. I report to God. And he tells us there's somebody that needs to hear about the church in their life and how important it is. You say, well, he could have given that message to Lloyd. Then Lloyd would have got my blessing. Some of you say, you're stingy. If God's got a blessing, I want it today. I want it because it gives me energy and strength to go on and build more. Let me move on. The church, the building of the church ought to be a priority in our life. Not when it's convenient or not people-pleasing, but it is a responsibility or a mandate from God that every one of us has. You can't blame it on your brother. You can't blame it on your sister. If there's anybody that you want to blame, we need to look in a mirror. There's the fella. People say, well, that one spoke a little ill to me today. Get the mirror out. Did they tell you the truth? You know, we live in a time when you can't say nothing to anybody because everything is taken so offensively. Or you have to be careful because you might hurt their little feelings. God bless your heart. It's tough. We live, you know, these cream puffs that we're around. Some of you say, oh, Lord, the pastor's got full of vinegar today. You know, just because I don't agree with you doesn't mean that I don't like you. And if I point out an error in your life, or God's Spirit points out an error in your life, and I like to say it that way because I don't like preachers that get up and tell everything they know about you from the pulpit. Preach the word and let God do the chipping away. Amen? But we live in a time when the word of God is offensive to people. You know why it's offensive? Because it tells you that sin is wrong. And if it don't tell you sin is wrong, it's not the gospel. People say, I want a message that tells me all the good stuff. I'm giving you good stuff. You say, but it, you know, most people that find fault with the word is people that need to get their life right. You say, Roger, why you got to preach like this? It's God's word. Your building, my building, if we're not careful, the devil would have us to ignore it until it's ready to just collapse. God's church is a beautiful church. And anything that's not beautiful is not of God. I'll just put it like that. It is our priority. It is a mandate from God. He told them here, in fact, I'm going to cut off all things that you have need of until you get to working on this church. How many people do you know that work and work and work, but yet they never have enough? And let me tell you, it's hard enough for a born-again child of God. But you know what God does? He takes our little and he breathes on it. Oh. Thank the Lord. He breathes on it, and I feel like the widow woman. Until that rain comes again, my meal will not go down, nor will my cruse of oil fail. Because God breathed on it. He said, until you get to working on this building, where you're at right now is not going to get any better. It's not going to get any better. In fact, if anything, it's only going to get worse because you're delaying what you know you need to do. But if we get to working on the building, see, God told them, he said, I'm going to tell the heaven to stay from the dew and the earth to stay from her fruit. I'm going to cause a drought upon the land, the mountains, upon the corn, upon the new wine, and upon the oil, and upon the ground bringeth forth, and upon men, and upon cattle, and upon all the labor of their hands. He left nothing out. Not only is he going to affect the land, but he's going to cause your animals not to give birth to any new ones. And he's going to put the curse upon men and upon the labor. Has anybody ever worked, like they used to say, worked your fingers to the bone and seemed like you didn't get nothing done? And then there's times when, Mark, you and I experienced that on Friday. Cutting in when you're painting is a terrible job. You go at it and go at it and go at it, and you look back and say, I didn't get anything done. But you know, if you keep working, and this church ought to inspire you this morning, don't quit midstream, but keep working, and you know what will happen? You'll get so far down the road and look back and say, thank you, Lord. Look what you did by me doing my part. How many of you remember the message I preached here last year sometime that said it like this? God will do his part if we do our part. And he will do his part. Now, I want to close with this. When they heard what the prophet said, I'm sure some of them said, well, why in the world we got to build that building for God? You know, it's almost like those folks who say, I can sit at home and have church. You would have missed all of this morning if you stayed at home. And you would have got some dried out message from the airwaves. Because I tell you, there's not many Holy Ghost filled messages over the airwaves. God said, get to work. And some of them probably said, I can work, but I have limited skills. You know what God said? I'll take you anyway. Look what he did for me. How many of y'all today, when we came to God, we had nothing to offer? Am I preaching the truth? We had nothing to offer. And yeah, without him, we still don't have anything. Thank you, Lord. But when he speaks, folks, we can be the very thing that somebody's life needs a touch of. Jack, keep on inviting. Others, keep on inviting. Keep on, because it's important. People look at so many things as being important in life, and really the only thing important in life is, are you ready to die? Are you ready to die? God said, start building, and they got up and they started building. Let me put this in before I move on. My work in my building has nothing to do with your work in your building. It's individual. And you say, oh, I just don't know if I'm ready to commit to that. Let me tell you this morning, and then we'll close. How many of you seen people grow by leaps and bounds in their Christian life? You know how they got to where they're at? Because they surrendered and said, God, here am I. Use me. Help me. And I'll build the best church in my life that I can. And they've done a wonderful job with the help of God. But they started building here. And if you go to chapter 2 in verses 18 and 19, you'll find this. If you will start working on your church in your life, God will bless you when you put it first. He'll bless you. Look at what happened in those two verses. God did not wait until the building was done to bless them. As soon as he seen their efforts and they got the foundation laid, you know what God said? Oh, my Lord. going to stop the drought. And I will bless you from this day forward. How many of us have done something real small, and God came around, Charlie, and blessed us for it, and we're saying, but Lord, I did so little. He said, but you did what I commanded you to do. You did the work that I asked you to do. This morning, I ask you today, as Rob and Sharon get a song. First of all, to those that are sitting there like they were in the time of Haggai, and you've got everything else going on in your life that you think is important, but you've never, never asked God to come into your life. You're sitting there and you know that the church is important. You know that God can do for you things that life would never do. You know that God can give you peace and happiness. I say this often. But let me tell you, I'd rather have the Lord, as Jack sang that song, and live in a shanty than I had not to know God and live in the finest of houses in the neighborhood. Because when it comes right down to it, when I lay my head upon my pillow at night, it's not what the neighbors or the co-workers say about me. It's what God says about me. Amen? And then I want to also invite you that you're not working on that church like you ought to be. You're not working on your Christian life like you know you ought to be. You say, oh, I've worked and worked and worked. You know, sometimes I see people working, it seems like they never get anywhere. It's because they're trying to do it all themselves to try to impress men or women. And folks, let me tell you, we ought not be in this to try to impress anybody, but to please God. And if God's pleased, others will have to be pleased with us, or they'll just have to turn their heads and walk on the other side of the street. You say, that's stern, Roger. How many of you are at that point in your life where it don't matter what anybody says? What matters is what God says. Amen? People say, oh, that's too harsh for me to say that. I want people to like me. I want people to, I like being around people. Even though I'm a loner. Anybody else a loner in the house? I've got a few of you. Thank God for you this morning. I sometimes feel sorry for myself and think, man, you know, I understand now what Granny and them meant when it said, you know, it's good to have friends and good to have them over, but it's also good when they leave. Amen? Yeah, Jim raised his hand. You know, there's a time for all things. There's a time for us to rest. There's a time for us to enjoy life, but there's also a time for us to get right with God. And I believe this is that time this morning. God spoke to you just like he did to those in that day. You've got everything else in your life. You're working on it, but you're leaving out the most important part. The most important part is, have you started building your life with Christ? While we stand and they sing a verse of a song. Today you follow your heart. Come this morning. Because until you get right with God, everything else will seem like you work and work and work, and you never get anywhere. You try to change your life. You try to change your habits and the things that, the desires that you have. But it seems like you're not getting anywhere. God can change all that. God can change all that. make that step this morning and ask God to help you to build that church in your life that you know is needful. You know that you need it with all your heart. Make that step this morning. Come on home. One last verse, Rob. Every one of us that's saved was once where you're at. Every one of us that's saved has been where you that have stopped working and building are at. There's been times that we sat down and did nothing. But God got our attention. And we got back to work. Why don't you move this morning? Mercy. For you and for me. Come on home this morning. You're amongst friends today. Come on today. Make this the best day of the rest of your life. Yes. He's calling for you. I believe every one of us has got a lot of work to do. Yeah. 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 Bless you, Brody. Bless you, buddy. Yes.
I don't want to be a burden to nobody.
No.
I never was that way. And you know, my wife told me, you asked who was a loner. She told me when she was living, she said, if there was a loner, I believe you're one of them. And I believe she was right, love.
Yeah.
I believe I am. I never did want to be a burden to nobody. And I don't mean to be rude to nobody. I'll treat anybody right if they'll let me.
Yeah.
Make myself rest here. But I'm gonna ask you that you will. I can't do nothing without the Lord, you'll skin either.
That's right, brother.
I know that he said that he was long suffering.
Yeah. Amen.
Everybody was
repenting. Amen.
And I know that he said his ears are open to the prayers of his children.
Yes.
And when
Yeah.
He can get their attention. I can't, but he can.
Amen. Bless you, brother. Let's remember these today. Anybody else got anything on your heart? All right. If not, we're going to pray with Brother Eli. But we want y'all to come back tonight. I believe every one of us realize there's a lot of work to do. Amen. And if you see something that needs to be done, let's just do it. Spiritually and physically. Amen. Come back tonight at 6 o'clock and be with us in the house of the Lord.